The Hajj ends with the Eid al-Adha, the feast that comes at the end of the Hajj. It is celebrated not only by those on pilgrimage, but Muslims around the world. This is the Feast of Sacrifice. It is a day for prayer, a day for sacrificing an animal, sheep, or some other acceptable animal, commemorating again Abraham's ability to substitute an animal for the sacrifice of his son, Ismail. The excess meat will be distributed to the poor. Again, this feast is one of grand celebration in which Muslim families come from far and wide, come home, as it were, to celebrate. Members come together, share meals, go to the mosque. In some societies, it lasts for days, even weeks. Those who have made the Hajj leave with the right to put a prefix before their name, to refer to themselves as Al-Hajj or Haji, indicating that they are pilgrims, they have made the pilgrimage. Now, we have the five pillars of Islam. But at times, popularly, jihad has been referred to as the sixth pillar of Islam. It's important to note that it is not the sixth pillar of Islam in any formal sense. It has no such official status. We will be dealing with jihad more extensively later when we talk about the worldview of the Quran. But I think it's important here to speak briefly to the concept of jihad, because in many ways, jihad represents the entire vocation of the Muslim. Jihad in the Quran means jihad fi sabil Allah, to struggle in the path or in the way of God. And so that struggle to be a good Muslim as an individual and as a member of a community is encapsulated in the term jihad. It is the struggle to realize God's will, to actualize God's will in history. It is the struggle to lead a virtuous life, to fulfill the universal mission of Islam, to spread the Islamic community. Today, popularly, it can be used to describe a personal struggle to keep the fast of Ramadan, to be good, to fulfill family responsibilities, to be a good student, to clean up a neighborhood, to fight drugs, to work for social justice. More specifically, jihad can also mean the struggle for and defense of Islam. And in this sense, it is sometimes referred to as a sacred struggle or popularly holy war. Despite the fact that jihad is not supposed to include aggressive, offensive, as distinct from defensive warfare, this has occurred throughout history. Much as Christians develop a just war theory, but often some of those wars, the justice all depends, as with beauty, the eye of the beholder. Muslim rulers have used jihad to legitimate their imperial designs and expansion. In contemporary times, religious extremists, the assassins of Anwar Sadat, the former president of Egypt, those like Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, masterminds of terrorist attacks carried out most recently in 9/11 and subsequently also in Indonesia, those who engage in acts of global terrorism, have often attempted to legitimate what they do by referring to them, these actions, as a jihad. But as we shall see in our discussion, the Islamic tradition is quite specific in laying out rules and regulations, not just Islamic law, but the Quran itself, in terms of when and how the defense of the community is to take place. When is it legitimate to fight? When is violence legitimate? When is it illegitimate? Who can fight? Who may not fight? Who is exempted? And so as we bring this lesson to a close, let's think then about the five pillars and their importance. Because from the 7th century to today, however much Islamic faith has been subject to interpretation and reinterpretation, however much divisions have come up and differences among Muslims, however diverse culturally and politically, for all who claim to be Muslim, there are these five simple observances, the five pillars of Islam, that they share in common. There are these five simple things: the confession of faith, prayer, pilgrimage, fasting, tithing or almsgiving. These five activities are what make an observant Muslim a Muslim.